15.
Grace and mercy, peace be yours this day from God our Father and from our Lord and our living Savior Jesus. Amen. The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple. The church is not a resting place. The church is a people. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. The church, the church is the gathered people of God. As the creed says, the church is the communion of saints. The church is the fellowship of believers, the assembly of the forgiven. The church is the community of Christ. And God says to his church, through the pen of Saint Paul, he says, brothers, sisters, people of God, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Brothers, sisters, people of God, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore them in a spirit of gentleness. This is God's word. This is God's command. This is God's will for our lives as the people of God together, because to be caught up in sin is not good. To be caught up in sin is not good. To have our hearts and minds turned away from God and his will is not good. To say to God, God, you can have all of me, you can have my life, take my life, Lord, let it be, I'll follow you, except in this area. You can be God over here, over most of me, but this part, no, I'll take it from here. To, in essence, say to God, God, you be God over most of it, but I'll be God over here, is not good. Sin leads to death. And I could quote a dozen Bible verses. We'll be here till 1 o'clock. The Bible says it over and over again in a variety of ways. Sin leads to death. Sin kills. It does. Her sin, even if she's managing it well, will kill her. And his sin, even if he seems to have it mostly under control and it's not affecting his day-to-day life and it's not hurting anybody else, his sin will kill him. So, brothers, sisters, family of God, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Cain, in Genesis chapter 4, cries out. He says, what, am I my brother's keeper? And the answer is, yeah. Yeah, you are. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, St. Paul asks this. Paul says, he says, what do I have to do with judging those outside the church? Is it not those within the church that you are to judge, to look out for, keep an eye out for each other, watch one another's back? Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5 that sexual immorality and all impurities and covetousness must not even be named among the people of God, as is fitting among the saints. So what do we do when it is? What do we do when sexual immorality and covetousness and all kinds of impurities are named and known and seen and accepted among the saints of God? Well, brothers, sisters, family of God, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore them in a spirit of gentleness. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say, I don't think we do this very well. I don't know what's in your hearts and minds right now, but my guess is that many of you are uncomfortable that I'm even talking like this right now. I don't think we do a great job of seeing kind of unrepentant and sin taking root in somebody's lives. I don't think we do a good job of restoring them gently. I think under the guise of gentleness, we don't do anything. Under the guise of being gentle or being nice, we don't say anything. Under the guise of gentleness, we don't interfere. We don't get involved. And if we happen to see kind of manifest unrepentant sin taking root in a sister or brother's life, more often than not, we complicitly turn away from or sinfully gossip about the fact that our sister or brother is being choked to death by sin. We complicitly look away, or we sinfully gossip about the fact that one of our siblings is dying, because sin leads to death every time. And we might even utter that most impious of prayers, God, I thank you that I'm not like other men. And if we know our Bibles, we might even quote scripture to justify our inaction. After all, Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 7, judge not, lest ye be judged. So there, pastor, shut up, leave me alone. And we either don't know or remember or conveniently overlook the fact that in the very same breath, Jesus says, first take the log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's. A log in the eye, a plank in the eye, is bad. No argument. So what Jesus says is take the log out of your eye so that you can see clearly, so that you can actually help. A speck in the eye is not good. You ever worked in the shop and get some sawdust in your eye? It'll ruin your whole day. Take the log out so that you can help your brother. Or maybe we'll quote John chapter 8 and say, pastor, it also says in the Bible, let him who is without sin cast the first stone. So leave me alone. I know I'm a sinner. Sure, they are too, but who am I to judge? I can't say anything. I've got sin in my life. I better not say anything at all. Maybe. But if we look at John chapter 8, maybe remember what's going on there. There's a mob of people who's angry and they want to hurt and kill someone because of their failings. So yeah, if your motivation is to hurt and kill someone because of their failings, probably better not to say anything at all. No argument here. But is that the only disposition we can have towards one another? Is the only option I want to destroy and ruin you? What if I love you? What if we actually care about this person? Well, then what do? Brothers, sisters, family of God, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore them in a spirit of gentleness. And this is the story of Gertrude McFuzz. There once was a girl bird named Gertrude McFuzz who had the smallest plain tail there ever was. One droopy droop feather is all that she had, and oh, that one feather made her so sad. For there was another young bird that she knew, a fancy young birdie named Lola Lee Lou. And instead of one feather behind, she had two. And Gertrude McFuzz looked at her one feather, and she looked at Lola Lilu's two feathers. And she looked at her one feather, and she looked at Lola Lilu's two feathers, and she wanted another one. Maybe it's because it's Seahawks colors, I don't know. But she wanted another one. She was desiring and longing after and coveting and lusting after that one. And it's actually kind of a scary kid story, because the desire to have what Lola Lee Lou is so strong that Gertrude wishes harm on her. And at one point, she wants Lola Lee Lou to die. It's It's a murderous little children's book. Sorry. It is. Gertrude is obsessed with this tale, and she wants to do anything she can to get another one. And so what she does is she goes to her Uncle Dake, who happens to be a doctor, and she asks Uncle Dake if there's any way that she can have another feather grow. And Uncle Dake knows of the pillberry vine that's on top of the hill. And in order to have another feather grow, all she has to do is eat one pill. And so Gertrude flies up at the top of the hill, and she eats a pill. And then Gertrude turned around and she cheered. It was true. Two feathers, exactly like Lola Lee Lou. Then she had an idea. I know what I'll do. I'll grow a tail that's better than Lola Lee Lou. And so she gobbles up all the rest of the pillberries from the top of that bush. And you know what happened? It worked. It worked. It worked marvelously and wondrously. It worked. It was everything she dreamed it would be. And so she spread out her wings to lift off of the ground. But with all of those feathers, she weighed 90 pounds. She yanked and she pulled and she let out a squawk. But that bird couldn't fly, couldn't run, couldn't walk. Gertrude was caught. Gertrude was trapped. Gertrude was tangled up in this web of her own making, and it would kill her. Sin always kills. Sin always leads to death. In her case, it was covetousness, but sin always kills. She was going to die because she couldn't walk, she couldn't run, she couldn't fly. And she spent the whole night up on that hill, and Gertrude McFuzz might be up there still if her good Uncle Dake hadn't heard her yelp. And he rushed to her rescue, and he brought along help. He rushed to her rescue, and he brought along help. He rushed to her rescue, and he brought along help. She was going to die, but he rushed to her rescue, and he brought along help. To lift Gertrude up nearly broke all their beaks. To carry her home, it took almost 2 weeks. And then it took another week more to pull out those feathers. My, Gertrude was sore. He rushed to her rescue. And he brought along help. Because she was going to die. He rushed to her rescue and he brought along help. And it wasn't fun, it wasn't pleasant, it wasn't enjoyable for any of them. None of them are having a good time. And you can look at this picture, you can look at this story, and you can say, yeah, Pastor, but wasn't it Gertrude's fault? Yep. Didn't she make her own mess? Yep. Wasn't it you made your bed, sleep in it? Yep. Wouldn't that community of birds been totally justified in letting natural consequences run their course? Yep. Would they have been totally justified in just leaving her alone? Yep. And wasn't there a risk that if they went to her, she'd reject their help? Yep. Wasn't there a risk that it might be really awkward and weird? They'd have to live in the community together and know that this happened? Yep. Did they do it anyway? Yep. Does it look like it was fun for the birds with the ropes around their beaks? Nope. Was it pleasant for the community? Nope. Was it pleasant for Gertrude? Nope. Was it worth it? Was it worth it? Was it worth the effort? Was it worth the time? Was it worth the real pain? Was it worth the awkwardness? Was it worth the uncomfortability of it all? Was it worth the potential just weirdness of now how do we go forward? Was it worth it, or is it worth it? That's the question. Is it worth it? Is it worth it? Is she worth it? Is he worth it? Is this? Is this a community of people who actually love each other and care about each other, even if it's weird and hard and uncomfortable? Is it worth it? God's answer in Scripture is yes. God says yes, 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 absolutely it's worth it. She's worth it, and he's worth it, and you're worth it, and they're worth it. God says yes. God says, this is why I sent Jesus. This is why I sent my son, to free you, to give you life, to restore you. This is why I sent Jesus, and this is why I gave you my spirit. This is why I gave you the spirit. This is why I gave you the Holy Spirit, the spirit of holiness, the spirit of freedom, the spirit of life, the spirit of peace, the spirit of gentleness, the spirit of Jesus. And I gave her my spirit, and I gave him my spirit, and I gave her my spirit, and I gave him my spirit. And I've given you to one another. I've rushed to your rescue, and I've brought along help. I've rushed to your rescue, God says, and I've brought along help. And so you can be this bird, the one with the ropes around his beak, the one who's sweating and straining and hurting. You can be that bird who's lifting another's burdens, because you were and are this bird, the one who's trapped and bound and unable to save yourself. And it's this perspective that you are that bottom bird, and God calls you to be the top bird. It's this perspective that allows us to be the people of God as God calls us to be. God says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. To bear one another's burdens, I can't die for your sin. Keith can't die for your sin. But if you're hurting under sin, then we can bear that together. And the hurt we might share means this is going to get weird before it gets better. But that's what God calls us to do. To be spiritual in this sense. To be spiritual is not just to be super emotional. To be spiritual doesn't mean you have the books of the Bible memorized. To be spiritual doesn't mean like you've just got this intuition and you're kind of really in groove with spiritual matters. No, when St. Paul says, you who are spiritual, to be spiritual is to have the Spirit of Christ. The same Spirit Connor received today. To have the Spirit of Christ freeing and forgiving you. To have the Spirit of Christ freeing and forgiving through you. Brothers, sisters, family of God, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore them in a spirit of gentleness. And I think if I stop here, maybe you'll be happy and we can go home and enjoy your day. And I'll stop in just a minute. But I think if I just stopped here, I don't know. My guess is that this is hard for us and weird for us and uncomfortable even to think about. And you're ready for this to be over and we'll just forget about this sermon and pretend like it never happened. Because maybe you're thinking, Pastor, if I hear you right, it sounds like you're saying, if Pastor Bob is living in open and unrepentant sin, as somebody who loves him, I should say something. Oh, yes. And Bob, that's actually why we're here. No, I'm just kidding. No. But yes, that's why we're here. That's exactly what I'm saying. This isn't an inquisition. This isn't a witch hunt. This isn't a I'm better than you or holier than thou or judge. No. But this is to say, if somebody is on a path that's hurting and killing them, it's not loving to say nothing. If I'm going down a bad path, please tell me. I need you. God's given you to help me, and he's given me to help you, and he's given us one another. And so I've got a little handout, because my guess is that a lot of us are thinking, nope, this sounds weird, never gonna do it. And that's okay, sort of. But there might be some of us saying, Pastor, that sounds great. I wouldn't even know where to start. It's not a magical piece of paper. It's just a half sheet with a bunch of words and a little picture on either side. I want to equip you to start a conversation. On the one side, it says this. When you're stuck on the hill and need to let out a yelp, pick them up on the way out. For some of you, for some of us, maybe you're struggling with a sin or a bad thing has taken root in your life that not even your best friend knows about, but it's killing you and you know it and you don't know how to ask for help. You're not alone. You're not alone. We're here for you. We're a family in this together. And if you need help starting that conversation, here's some Bible verses and kind of sentence starters to get you going. On the other side, it says this, when God rushes along to the rescue and brings you along for the help, when God is going to save Dylan, I can't save Dylan, but God can save Dylan, and when God reaches out to save Dylan, and if he happens to invite me along to help, and I don't know where to start, then here's some Bible verses and here's some sentence starters. This isn't a witch hunt, it's not an inquisition, but it's for that moment when you say, gosh, I've seen this in their life, and I care about them, and I know that's not right, and I don't know what to do, and maybe it's not my place to judge, maybe I shouldn't say anything, but I care, and I don't know what to do. And you think, gosh, how long has that affair been happening? When do I say something? How long has it been since they've come to church? When do I say something? How long has it been since they've said a complete sentence without a four-letter word? When do I say something? How long has he gossiped every time I've had a conversation? When do I say something? How long has she been just a mean person and not representing Christ? When do I say something? Not because I'm better, not because I'm judging, but because I love. Pick up a little sheet. Let the Spirit lead you. God rescues and he brings help. Let me pray for us. The band's going to come up. We'll have a blessing, but I want to just take a moment and pray. Father in heaven, we give you thanks for sending Jesus to rescue us. We made a mess, Lord, and the consequences, we can skirt them for a while, and maybe we even presume on your kindness. But Lord, you call us to holiness, and you call us to love. That's why I thank you for this church, where we can be real, where we can be honest, where we can trust you and trust each other enough that we can even have awkward conversations, because you're good. So Lord, prompt us and lead us, give us humility, and glorify your Son through your people. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Would you stand up and receive a blessing? Words from 2 Corinthians. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the perfect fellowship of his Holy Spirit be and abide with us all. Amen.